Robert Maxey, he's the parent of John Maxey. He's the father of John Maxey. And I mentioned he came out from Ireland.
You know where, what county in Ireland?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. No, I couldn't tell you.
But they weren't Roman Catholics, because they're married the English.
Oh, no, they were. No, they weren't Roman Catholics at all. There were none of them in the connection at all.
They were Anglican? That's an Anglican church there.
Well, there was an Anglican church there, and, you know, there wasn't any dividing line in the sense, but there also was a Presbyterian.
That's what
cemetery.
I thought, yeah. There's two
but
churches.
They just didn't have any dividing line.
Oh,
but in the earliest days, you designated which one. But after time, they more or less grew together.
So the one church was Presbyterian at one end, and the one was Anglican.
But the father, I would say, would be Anglican, though I...
Or Presbyterian.
Yeah, well, he was Anglican, I'm pretty sure.
I see.
And he had the old farm. It was him who had dug up the money for the farm in the first place.
I see.
And then John, the son, in due time, took over the farm. And that's where my wife and all the 10 children were born, right on that farm, on that one farm.
But that particular Robert that is buried there is the Robert that's shown.
Oh yes, oh yes, and the old grandfather guy, I remember, McAfee, I remember him telling me about when he died, and he was a great big man. He fell out of bed one day, and they had an awful time getting him back into bed. This was after mother's father had died.
Yeah.
And they're just seeing the mother and one or two other sisters were living. And they had a hard time getting the old grandfather McAfee. But he was the one with the money.
Yeah.
And there's another sister-in-law, Rose, who just lived up the street. And if the lawyers, the rig came to out from the country and came down to the McAfee farm, these relatives up the street knew that there's something legal going on, you know, so they'd get them the rig and come down to find out what was all happening. But he was the guy that had the money.
And
he started on nothing and made a lot of money.
On land.
On land, and that was farmed. He was a good, successful farmer.
My mother said one of them, either John or Robert, made a lot of money selling the land to the railroad.
Well, that might have been too, because it was at the tail end of the old Bradford Marsh. The Bradford Marsh ran up past that, and just a couple of hundred yards. Less than, probably only a little over 100 or 200 yards to the railroad track. And it was quite a big job getting the cows over the railroad track when there'd be no train coming to do the pasturing for the daytime and then bring the cows back at night.
Yeah.
That was a big chore.
That house on Barry Street, Fairview, that was John McAfee's house?
Oh, no, no. Mrs. McAfee, the mother, they lived on the farm for years after the father died.
Uh-huh.
Now, the father died, I don't know whether that matters or not.
Well,
but
we know the date. We've got it.
I think I could fix a date like that. But after the father died, there were still three sisters. One, two, three. At one time, I can go back far that there were four sisters there, lived with the mother on that farm for years and years and years. And Leela, my wife, really got her first years in high school by coming to town. I think the first year coming to town late in the morning. But after that got too big a job. So after that, she and the Mabel Fennell, who lived on the next farm, just neighbors, they took a room in Bradford. There was 1 year in between where she stayed with a cousin in Bradford. Then the next year, there's something silly about those lights. I don't know what the silliness is. I think it slips a little bit. But anyway,
At one point, the widow, her mother, acquired that house on Barry Street.
Oh, she bought that house.
Yeah,
they had money.
The farm.
They rented the farm to a Charles Edney for a number of years. And then they moved to town at that time. Later on, they sold the farm to Charles Edney.
Yeah.
But no, the mother, now let me see, there's only two daughters at that time, Lieta and Clarissa, moved to town with the mother. The others by that time were married off.
So you and Grammy were married in that house on there?
Yeah, so that's why we were married in that house. And Bradford, yes. But they know they acquired that quite recently.
Grammy's mother's maiden name was Elizabeth Holt. Do you know anything about the Holts, about her?
Now, I know nothing about them any more than they were farmers in the community.
I don't know if they were from England or anything like that.
I couldn't tell you anything of that at all. I don't even know about their about brothers and sisters. They were, I think, well, I just didn't know about them. That's all. I wasn't caring about them.
Well, it's just that we know so much about all the other sides of the families. Our little McAfee's a bit neglected, but I've written that.
It's strange. Now, there was only one boy. There were other boys that died. There was a boy, Will, that died, but Robert McAfee, the son, he was very successful in business.
He
went into business in Cookstown, in the lumber business. And he built himself a lovely house there. And back about, I guess after he got married, I don't know where he lived before he got married, but he married a local girl in Cookstown there. And anyway, money was no object. He was quite well to do. He made it, I guess, principally in the lumber. The other used to say that he could walk through a bush, and he could spot one valuable tree in that bush, and he would offer somebody a sum that would not come over, because they didn't think the bush was worth a damn, just something to saw for lumber. But he'd spot one tree in that bush, so he'd buy that bush.
Well, to switch from the McAfee to the Garrett, you know that John and I were up there, and you know we saw the Garrett fall.
Yeah.
The stone sort of description is somewhat difficult to read because of the age, but what we found was that your grandfather, Richard Garrett, was very
rich. Yeah.
And it gave us his birthday because it gave us age.
Yeah.
Two of your brothers, a sister and a brother of your of Edmund are buried there with him.
Yeah.
George Edwards.
I can remember Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth.
I was probably, I was 3 years of age when I moved to that house. I think I mentioned that in the letter. Well, Elizabeth died in that house.
Yeah.
And about all that I know is that I have to do a lot of tiptoeing around. And I got my head in the door once and I knew that somebody was in the bed. But later on it turned out to be Elizabeth and she died there. So her age could be fixed by
incidentally, are you interested? Do you want me to run you off copies of all those inscriptions,
Maxine Garrett? Oh, I don't know. I'm not
going to
live too long myself.
Okay. I don't know about that.
If you wait a little while, you'll have me in the list.
Oh, go on. So the children that I have are Edmund, Julia, Elizabeth, Arthur, and George Edwards. And Elizabeth and George Edwards are both buried with your dad. The problem is your grandmother, Elizabeth Blunden, the information we got from the relatives out west was that she was buried there. But we could not find her name on that stone.
Well, she couldn't be buried. Now you're speaking now of my father's mother. Well, she couldn't be buried anywhere else.
Well, I'll tell you now.
Because her dad was, her husband was buried there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And she, I can't remember whether she died at home or not, but I think she died in Mimico. Now, she went mental in her last years. And she had to be confined to Mimico. That is, she was just a little, what's the matter with those things?
She died in June
16, 1907.
And he died quite a bit earlier, of course, in 1868.
June, I had just come west a couple of months months before she died yet. I wonder, would you turn that knob just a little bit and see if that comes back? I think the knob is doing you slipping.
Well, anyway, the information from the West says she's buried there, but there's no inscription on
Well, she can't be buried. She can't be buried anywhere else.
But no chance that she got remarried or anything like that.
No. She died in Mimico, and I can't see why the family would all go to Toronto to bury her when they had the plot in the cemetery at Colson's Hill. So I think that it just was neglect in not putting the name on there. At one time I had the names that I could read all that I could read off of that written down somewhere, but
yeah.
I don't know where they are now. No,
I must have
sent them to somebody.
I can show you what John and I got her. That's Richard Garrett, born February 15, 1820, died November 22, 1868.
That would make him about 14 or 15.
48. That's
yeah.
Richard, your grandfather.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Garrett, born July 8, 1852, died July 20, 1892. That's
yeah.
Her about 40. George Edward, born March 28, 1868, died July 22, 1879. That'd make him 11 years old.
And see, I don't know any of those, only Uncle Arthur. That's
yeah.
The only one that knew out of the whole family.
Well, of course, they all died before
yeah.
You were born,
yeah.
Didn't they? Well, except for the one daughter, the 1892, yeah. Well, we were just sort of wondering about this Elizabeth Blunt, because we didn't
Well,
her.
I think you can take it that she's buried there all.
Yeah, she is there.
And if somebody slipped up on that part of it. There must have been room, because you read those monuments as out of mind. They were four-sided, weren't they?
Yes.
So that they could put it up.
There's a blank side there.
They could put it up in the garden. They were stuck.
No, there's a blank side on the stone. There's only three people
yeah.
there, and there's a
yeah.
blank side.
Well, I would say that that was neglect.
Thank you.
I would say that that was neglect.
Ken and I and the boys went up to Clarksburg.
Yes, I was very interested in that. That's more than I had ever done. I had never been to the graveyard in Clarksburg.
We found two stones there, side by side, to Adam Goodfellow
yeah.
and Elizabeth Roddy, and to two of their children. Now, this is the mother and father of your mother, Susanna Goodfellow.
Yeah.
Adam Goodfellow is her dad, and Elizabeth Roddy is her mother.
Well, all I knew out of that family was Adam Goodfellow and Amelia Goodfellow
yeah.
and Aunt Ella.
Well, Amelia's buried there.
Here's
the inscription. Adam Goodfellow, 1830-1905.
Yeah.
His beloved wife, Elizabeth Roddy, 1830-1879.
Yeah.
Isabella Goodfellow, 1862-1918.
Yeah.
Amelia Goodfellow,
1856-1931. Many a summer holiday I had with Adam Goodfellow. He lived on a little... Oh, 50 acres probably, outside of Thornbury, just south. And, you know, he had lovely orchard there. And,
he was a farmer.
It wasn't a whole farm like this. He had retired on a bit of a farm, I'd say 50 acres. But I don't know what he did before that. I don't think he was originally a farmer. But anyway, he was about 3 miles south of Thornbury, towards Ravenna way, and lovely, lovely fruit. And you know, he looked forward to that fruit to sell, to get a little pin money, as it were. He'd often send a basket down to Dad, because you couldn't get hardly any money for it. But those big baskets, I guess now you'd call it an 8-quart basket. I don't know much about the size. An 8-quart basket with a handle on it. Well, he would take them to town. Lovely green gauge crumbs and things like that. The very best of them. And they couldn't get 10 cents a basket.
Yeah.
An 8-pound basket of plums. So then he'd send them down to Dad. Either that or carry them home to feed them to the pigs.
Well, that's interesting, because when we were there, it was the time of year when the apple trees were just loaded down to the ground with apples.
Yeah.
And we went on those back confession roads looking for Redwood. We were looking for the little church where your parents were married. And it was interesting, because the way you're describing it is just, you know, the way it was when we were...
Well, I went back there one year to recollect all and relive all that stuff, as I thought. But I just didn't forget that things moved on. And at his little 50-acre farm there on the side of the road, there were two great big willow trees. You couldn't beat them, and they were just straight up on the line. And thousands of sparrows would nest there at nighttime, and that's when the cats would get there, get their meals, you see, at nighttime. They'd get up there and get the sparrows. But I forgot all about that those willow trees could disappear, like, you see. And down with all, I couldn't find the farm at all. It was funny, that.
Adam Goodfellow was the son of John Goodfellow. Do you know John Goodfellow? Our information is that he was from Scotland.
What was the first name?
John.
John Goodfellow was the son of who?
No, Adam. Adam was the son of John. Your grandfather, Adam Goodfellow, was the son of a John Goodfellow.
Oh, that's too far back.
You don't know anything.
No, that's too far back.
Do you know
back.
If the Goodfellows were originally from Scotland?
I didn't know that either.
Well, I don't know if they are. I'm asking.
No, I didn't even. I couldn't say. I tell you, there was no such a thought of keeping records of all those things. And all those things, those days of all, you never thought of such.
In the cemetery of Bond Head, there's some good fellows buried there. We haven't made the connection, but...
No, I didn't know about them at all.
And they're from Roxborough in Scotland.
See, you know, it's just a little 4 or 5 miles in between the two there, and yet it never occurred to me to even look for any good fellows in there.
Yeah.
I didn't know of any good fellows there.
But the good fellows, the only ones you knew were from the area around Clarksburg, Redwing.
That's right. Know,
and that was because your mother...
Later years, of course, Uncle Charlie and Uncle John in Midland.
Yeah, and they published the paper.
That was in later years,
I see. We tried to find the church, the Presbyterian church at Redwing that your parents were married in.
Well, again... It was many, many, many years later when I knew that they were married in Redwood. I accumulated, I have a little note in my notebook of the marriage in Redwing, but that was even after I was out west that I had accumulated that information. I didn't...
Well, it's in that clipping you sent me about their anniversary.
Yes, I realize that. That had come to light at that time.
Yeah.
But my first knowledge of, I gathered that up sometime after I'd gone west. But I went west when I was 19, I guess.
Your grandmother, Goodfellow, Adam's wife, her name is Elizabeth Roddy, R-O-D-D-Y.
Well, I never saw her. I never saw her and didn't know her. I didn't know her at all.
Well, she died in 1879, before you were born.
Right.
Yeah.
But Adam Goodfellow, I used to spend my holidays there. Mm-hmm. And one year I went up there, and I had my bicycle with me. And Mother came up later on and joined me, and she wanted me to go back on the train with her. And I punked it out of her that if she'd give me the fare, I'd go back on my bicycle. So I made a deal. So she gave me the car grant and I went back on my bicycle.
So you don't know anything about Elizabeth. Do you know anything about the Roddys? Her father came from Ireland and is married,
didn't I? I know nothing about the Roddys. You know, you kids now know far more about this thing than I do. There's no doubt about that.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
There's one other question I was trying to think of. We dropped the Goodfellows and Roddy. Well, you said he wasn't a farmer, but he owned that acreage. You're not sure what he did.
I'm not sure what he did. Uh, I was going to try to connect them up, but that would be silly. I was going to try to connect them up with the cabinet makers, but no, that was it at Dad's father. Dad's father,
He was a carpenter, so a cabinet maker is the last.
Yeah, he was sort of a cabinet. Yeah.
He had a little business in Bradford?
No, I don't know what he had. You see, he died before I was... I guess before my days of remembering, almost. I can remember Grandma McGarrett, of course. Grandma McGarrett, and how Dad ever did it, I'll never know.
Yeah, where did he get the money to start up?
That's just what I was going to say. Now, Dad started in at 50 cents a week. That's how much money he made, 50 cents a week.
As an apprentice.
As an apprentice. And he was the oldest. The oldest in the family, as I knew them. Aunt Lizzie was no more. She died at our house later on, but then it was a faraway cry. And Uncle Artie was the only one that I really knew. But your dad getting enough money to buy the jumping from that? He worked for this man, Bolton. What's the matter with that silly thing? He worked with this man, Bolton. Bolton had a newspaper, but he also had the post office. And Dad worked for him for a total of 9 years. So I suppose he started around 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, I thought that worked out. He was about that age.
Yeah. And so he couldn't have had any money. He was really keeping his mother, as it were. That is, he was the senior member of the family with the mother all the years.
He was only 22 years old when he found his paper.
How old?
22.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where the money comes from. To start a business in a little town of 800 or 900 people, to start a second newspaper, a man must be crazy. Anyway, and I guess that's the trouble that's run down through the family, generation after generation, you see. But then you start a newspaper when one couldn't survive. Now, Dad told me the story of how he got his newspaper. I presume that this was the first one. I don't know how much of the plant he lost when he was burned out in the second one. Maybe this story goes back on the second newspaper. But he went to Toronto, and there was an auction sale of newspaper stock. And he went down the day ahead of time, and went through and sized up all this stuff that was going to be sold, and made up his mind on what he might want to bid on and whatnot. And that is how he got the plant. But whether that was plant number one or plant number two, I don't know. Because I don't know how much he lost in that fire. But I never knew where the money come from.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to figure.
But I can always say this, that Dad almost, as we would say today, he still has his first nickel.
Yeah.
Because nobody else ever got any nickels, don't you see? Because when the fall fair was on, and the fall fair was the one big thing of the year, everybody went to the fair. Well, now 10 kids, and a man trying to finance onto that. How many nickels did you have to get into the grounds? Well, we get into the day that it was free. Of course, we all get in. But I remember later on playing hooky from school and getting down and getting over the back fence in the fairgrounds. The first guy that I saw on the land was my dad. And he says, what are you doing? I played hooky from school. But what I mean is, there wasn't any money.
Well, you described the family home as being very
cool. Well, we had the best house in the town.
Well, where did he get that if he didn't have
God only knows, I don't.
Of course, by that time, he'd be in the business.
Yeah, that would be...
Oh, yes, of course. And that was the second house, because I was about 3 years old when they went there. But, well, he must have, I don't know. And besides, business was a trade and barter of sorts. I can't ever recall Dad buying any apples or potatoes or vegetables. The farmers always brought that stuff in.
Yeah.
And even with our merchants, you never seen any money pass. Dad gave them advertisements.
Yeah.
And we charged up the groceries. I loved the groceries for years. You just went in and ordered them. There wasn't any money exchanged, but you had a meeting at the end of the year, not a meeting, but just a paper meeting. You sent in your bill.
Yeah.
As I think Dad generally come out and win somewhere or another. I think that the other fellow generally owed Dad.
Yeah.
And that's all I can account for.
People paid the subscriptions.
Oh, yes, Belgians. That was one of the big things. My oldest brother and I, we used to have a little hobby of our own. When Dad would go to Trotter to some church meeting or something, we'd get into Dad's books. And it was amazing, the scores and scores of people that wrote for 5, 10, and 15 years and never paid for a subscription at all. Never thought of such a thing as paying for a subscription. So George and I would get busy and write out a lot of bills. And Dad was one idiot about that. He'd get mad as the devil. One guy, a retired fireman, he moved into town, $14 for 14 years. We got in $30 and $40 when Dad was going to Chicago. And Dad would get mad as the devil. And we'd jump him about it, you know. And he'd say, oh, well, no, you gotta go to the estate someday. But that's the way business was done.
Change the subject just a bit. There's one thing I think I left a false impression with you. You had the opinion I thought that Elizabeth Blondet perhaps was French. What we got is some information from out west is that she was adopted by an aunt.
Well,
Mr. Neville or De Neville, who was French.
That I wouldn't know.
You don't know.
No, that I wouldn't.
I would say she was probably.
That really was a surprise to me because I'd never heard French mentioned.
No, I don't think she was.
That was almost a dirty word.
Yeah, I think it still is nowadays in certain circles.
Yeah. Well.
No, anyway, I didn't mean that she was. I mean that she had been adopted by a relative who was. John, did you?
Well, I've often wondered about the money. Now, Dad sold that house when he left to come to West. Luck was with him. He sold that house for spot cash. And the man that bought it, I never thought had a nickel. The man that bought it was, he was a kind of a constable in a way. I guess he ranked as the town constable, but there wasn't much to do with it. But to not see anything going wrong or not doing anything and all that. But he bought and sold on the market. There was a weekly market there. And he'd buy eggs and sell them and all, a trucking business and things of that kind. And he accumulated enough money to buy Dad's house for cash.
What street is that house on? If we're going
Holland.
Back, I'd like to, on what?
Holland.
Holland Street?
Holland, I think. I was thinking about the name of the street afterwards. It must have been, Holland was the only name I knew for it.
Did it have it as a number?
No, there were no numbers. No numbers over there. No. No. But it was, a funny thing, Young Street in Toronto, really ran right straight north up to within 4 miles of Bradford.
Yeah.
And Holland Landing. Then it took a turn for 4 miles and twisted into Bradford. And then it was a straight road again all the way up to North Bay, up to Barrie and out of North Bay. And so on.
In the Globe and Mail, they're advertising in Toronto, in the Globe and Mail, that people should live in Bradford where the houses are cheaper and commute to Toronto.
Oh?
Yeah.
Give me that last again.
There's ads in the Globe and Mail for new housing development in Bradford.
Yes.
Trying to encourage Toronto people to buy their houses.
Yes.
Are cheaper in Bradford than Toronto.
Yes.
To live there and commute.
Yes. Well, LaMarche, of course, had a lot to buy for his population. I don't know how much, but it did that. It was a bunch of foreigners that started into LaMarche. They wanted to develop into a big thing. They're lugging the vegetable garbage out by truck every day.
Yeah.
And now they drained the marsh and lowered the water on it so that it was great for growth, you see. But
John, did you want to ask Granddad?
Granddad, when I was talking to you on the telephone, you read to me from a receipt of Edmund's, of your father's birth certificate.
Yeah.
Do you still have that? Could I have a look at it?
Now, clear my mind on that a little again, John. Dad's, what was the subject? The subject was Dad's
birth registration.
Oh, birth registration.
Remember, I was talking to you on the phone.
Do I indicate that I had that?
Well, you said you had something here, and they're saying the names Wooten St. Lawrence and Drummer and Basingstoke. If you mentioned those names, you said you had a receipt here when you were talking to me on the phone.
Well, now I don't recall that at the moment.
You said it was sent to you by Follow Me?
Well,